brag on him?
Turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start doing my stuff. Once in a while.
Okay, John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable Jesus spoke to them, but they understood not the things that were which he spoke to them. Then said Jesus to them again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was as at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. There came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Jesus answered, and the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because that you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law that I said you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Boy, there's some good stuff in here tonight. This has always been a very misunderstood chapter. People want to think that we're talking about the devil in here. How many people believe this thief is the devil? No, not the devil. I'll tell you right up front, this thief in here we're talking about that come to kill, steal, and destroy is your natural mind. It's the carnal mind. It has nothing to do with a devil running around. That's something contrived by the religious system to make you watch for something external instead of realizing that it's internal, and there's where the ones doing it undercover is getting so much damage done, because nobody's looking for the problem being internal. If I ever point the finger at a person and accuse somebody of something, do you know what I just did? I denied the truth of God in me. You hear what I'm saying? I deny the truth of God in me, because if I'm pointing out there for my problem, I'm denying that God is working in my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? God lives inside of me. Where's he working? Inside. So anytime I point out there and say, that person caused me a problem, or that thing over there did me something wrong, or somebody did something wrong here, I am denying that God is working internal. I'm missing the whole point of what God is doing. God didn't come to save this big round ball out here we live on called the earth, did he? He came to save this earth we are in right here. So we need to watch what we're looking at. Again, this whole teaching that I've been doing for all these, well, it's been several years now, on the mind of Christ, all the way through the Gospels, it's all about the mind of Christ. Can someone tell me what a mind is? It's a grouping of thoughts. It's an ability to think. See? So the thing that mind does is it thinks. And if we can't, how can we put on the mind of Christ if we don't think like he thinks? Would we have the mind of Christ? See? If somebody does me wrong and I get angry at them and retaliate, is that the mind of Christ? See there? How hard was that to figure out? Would Jesus retaliate against anything? There's the mind of Christ. That's the heart of the Father. God doesn't retaliate, neither does the sons. If we have the heart of God, we will not retaliate, we'll not take revenge, we'll not hate anybody, we'll not hurt anybody. There's only one thing we can do, love them, no matter where they're at. See? Remember the first two commandments, the ones that Jesus said, the only two, there's two, and the first is love the heart, the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said, these two are one. Okay? It's about love. It's not about hurting somebody. So we got to get this mind in here and realize that everything is internal. Now, we know this is not a natural story, don't we? What is this? It's a parable. Because if you read in verse 6, he tells you, this parable spoke Jesus to them, but they understood not the things which he spoke to them. See? Now, you know in Matthew 13, 34 and 35, the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? What was the response? For you, the children of the kingdom, to understand this stuff, but those outside is not. That's it. See, that's the whole key. So he's speaking to a certain group of people. This is a misunderstanding out of the carnal mind through the religious system, that God's out here trying to get everybody, and because everybody is not following God, the devil's winning. See, that's the mentality, that's the story that they're given. God is only looking for one thing. You can't reap the big harvest until the first fruit has been picked. Does that make sense? I can't take a second step until I've taken a first step. The first fruit must be harvested before anything else can come in, right? You can't do a second thing if you haven't done the first thing, right? And this is what people are not seeing because of listening to what religion teaches and not listening to what God teaches through his plan and purpose in his scriptures. He's got the plan figured out. He sets out there and shows you a pattern, and that pattern will never change from the beginning to the end. It never changes. Didn't he say, I'm the Lord, I change not? So if anything changed, what would it be? Well, what would it be? If anything changes, what would it be? It has to be the thinking of man. It's not God, because God's mind has never changed, only the way we think about God and what we think about what he says. Our understanding of him is perverted. Okay? Okay, so now we're going into verse 1 of chapter 10. He says, verily, verily, I say to you, the one that enters not through, not by, but through the door to the sheepfold but climbs up some other way, the same that one is a what? It's a thief or a robber. It's a thief and a robber. See? And here we see in the natural picture someone crawling up and getting into a door. Wrong picture. We've got to see this in the spirit because he told us it's a parable. So we know this is not a natural story, is it? We're talking about a spiritual truth. Now, what came to kill, steal, and to destroy? The book says Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And guess what? The only thing that can destroy me or kill me or steal anything from me is the way I think. If I let my mind have control, do you know what kind of mess I'll be in? Do you know what you'll be in, Bob?
Well, with your mind, all it can do is process information. If you have wrong information, you're going to be believing the falsehood. So that's where the problem lies.
Absolutely.
How are you going to be assured that you're getting the right information?
Unless you do it yourself, see, and find out for sure. The problem with most people being confused and deceived in this world, and the Bible says this, deception doesn't come from without. Deception comes from within. So if I'm deceived, it's nobody else's fault, but who? It's me. We have tools in this country that most of the people in this world would cut their arms and legs off just to be able to read and look at some of the material we have. Do you realize that? There's people that run around with a piece of a page out of a Bible and think they're blessed. We got Bibles stacked up over our heads and won't even read them. We use them to keep the TV level or something, you know. We don't study God's Word. We find a million other things. That's why I've said for years that living in this country can be a curse. It's a wonderful thing with our liberties, but we have so much that we focus on, we forget God. Okay. I get my hands so full of stuff, I can never lift my hands and praise to God, can I? I'd drop my stuff if I did. Well, let it drop. You'll be blessed when you don't have it. See? That's why those people in these third world countries can worship God uninhibitedly. Well, they haven't gotten anything else. What have they got but God in their life? Nothing but hard times and God. And that'll make you look to God a whole lot more than all this extra stuff we got. Because we got excess in everything we got. Okay, so we go back. I want to go back on this first verse again. Verily, verily, I say to you, the one that enters not through the door, and what is the door? Jesus said, I am the door, right? He is the way to enter in. John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man enters to the Father except through me. That's a pretty good definition of a door, isn't it? You can't enter in unless you go through me. That's what he said. So that defines him as the door, doesn't it? And in John 10, verse 7 through 9, well, we just read that a minute ago, remember? In verse 7, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. Verse 9, I am the door. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So we know he is the access point. The only way we're going to get to the Father, the only way we're getting back to the throne, back to where we were from before the foundation of the world, is go through him. Pretty simple, isn't it? It sounds simple, but there's a whole lot to it when you have to walk it out and experience it. He said, but by the door of the sheepfold. Wonder what the sheepfold is. It's the courtyard. It's literally, the language says it's the courtyard of the sheep. It's the people in that fellowship. It's in the kingdom. I would call it the members of the kingdom. I'd say that the sheepfold is the kingdom. Okay? In this parable. But climbs up some other way, that one is a thief and a robber. And as I said earlier, I make it very clear to you, it's the carnal mind. It's the one that came to kill, steal, and to destroy from you. When we hear this thing about a devil, we hear this thing about a Satan, come on, it's only the carnal mind. That's the thing. The word devil, diabolos, and the word satanus for Satan, both mean accuser or false accuser. And the only thing that accuses me that means anything is my mind. If someone externally accuses me, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. It's inside where I get accused. Most people that have low self-esteem and condemnation in their life, it's because of what their mind tells them, not what somebody else tells them. Many people start with very subtle mind control and can tell you things, tell you you're no good, tell you you're a failure, you're stupid, you're carnal, you don't know this, you don't know that. All of us have had people in our lives like that, haven't we? And by saying that to someone, we are supplanting things in their mind, telling them they're stupid. So the next time they do something wrong, what's the first thing out of their mouth? I'm stupid, I blew it again. God didn't say we're stupid, did he? Someone lied, and it's our mind. And our mind is very quick to pick up on things that are not of God. We pick up on the negative, the accusing, because our mind is that killer, that murderer, came to kill, steal, and destroy. Verse 2 it says, but the one that enters in through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, if you enter in through the door, that's through Christ, then what are you truly? You're the shepherd over a flock. See, you're part of that shepherd. And it's a corporate shepherd. It's not just about one person. Everyone that's called first fruit is a shepherd. They're part of it. Isn't that true? To him, and that's to the shepherd, the porter opens. Who do you think the doorkeeper is? It's the Spirit. Which, you know, we say Christ, we say the Spirit, we say God, we say they're all one. Didn't Jesus say, I and the Father are one? There's not three thrones in heaven like some people think, you know. One for the old gray-haired man, which is God, and one for the 32-year-old, long-haired, blue-eyed, long-bearded, good-looking guy. That's Jesus. And the third chair is empty because that's where the Holy Ghost is and no one can see him. See, that's the picture that most people have in their head. And if it offends somebody, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's not the picture of God. There's one God, and he is Spirit. And he can manifest himself in many forms, and they don't want to see that. It's okay. To him, to the one that is the shepherd, the porter, the Spirit opens. John 14:6, what does he say? 14:26, excuse me. I'm going to go away and send you another comforter who is who? The Holy Spirit, and he shall do what? Teach you all things. So guess who's going to open to somebody? Who opens everything? The Spirit opens it up to you, doesn't he? He opens it up to me, opens it up to anybody else that hears. And the sheep hear the Spirit's voice, and that's Christ. And the shepherd calls his own, right, sheep by what? Literally, according to name, which means what? It's the Greek word onoma. It means character, nature, authority. So he calls them according to their nature. There it is. See, there it is. See, he calls them according to that. Remember in Revelation it says, I'm going to give you a new stone, and upon that stone is going to be a new name. What do you think is written on that white stone, that righteous stone, which is Christ? Christ. See? My name is Dave. Would you all agree to that? Well, then what's my hand's name? It's Dave too. And what's my foot's name? See? So if I'm part of the body of Christ, what is my name? And see, we're not talking, don't run around and call me Christ. See, I'm part of the body of Christ. See, I'm part of that. See? I am just the Son of God. I'm part of the Christ. And when it's a corporate Christ, it's not all about one person. Okay? But he calls his own sheep according to their nature and character and leads them out. Now here's the most beautiful part that religion will never do. He said he calls them by their nature. Didn't he say we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world in Ephesians chapter 1, right? Okay. If you go back to Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and you find out he created Christ in the first fruit, right? So when he did that, guess what he did? He put a nature in you. From the very foundations of this world, he put a nature in you. What nature is it? It's the nature of the Father, which is Christ. It's the Spirit of God. So he already did that. So now when he comes back and it's time for fruit to come in, guess what he does? He just says, come. He calls your nature. Deep calls unto deep. And when the Spirit reaches out to the Spirit, you know what the Spirit's going to do? It's going to unite. It's going to come back together. There'll be no separation. There'll be no division. There'll be no dissension. Can't be. It's not God's way, is it? It'll just come back together. Mesquite in here. Yeah, man, I don't want none of the bites on me. I'll take care of that skeeter. Okay. And after he does all this, he calls them according to his nature, he leads them. Here's the difference between religion and Christ. Christ leads. How does he lead? By example and by walking in front. See? And they, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See? Religion stands behind you and kicks you in the rear end, tells you go on out there and do everything. If anything goes wrong, they're not in the firing zone. Huh? Yep, they're a bunch of goats. That's what they send out there. But his sheep follow his lead. Does that sound like they're out doing anything on their own? They're walking right with him. They're watching the teacher. They're watching the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, hearing what he's saying inside and responding to what they're hearing inside. Not going out looking for something to do. That's not what God's about. See, he already has a purpose and a plan, and he'll reveal it to you when it's time, when he wants you to do it. We've been talking about a shepherd here in these first few verses, right? Second verse especially, about the shepherd. The one that enters in through the door is what? The shepherd of the sheep. Do you know four things a shepherd must do even in the natural? And you can take them from the natural and put them right into the spiritual. Let me read you four things that I wrote down that the shepherds have to do in the natural. One, they have to watch for enemies attacking the sheep and defend those sheep. Now you have to watch for enemies attacking, and if the enemy comes, you've got to drive that wolf off, don't you? You have to heal the sheep. If a sheep is wounded, there's nobody going to take care of that sheep except the shepherd. Nobody else has the ability, do they? You have to find any sheep that is lost or trapped. That means you got to go out and seek them once in a while and bring them in. And the fourth thing, can anybody tell me what it is? You got to love the sheep and share in their lives so you can earn their trust. You got to love them and share their lives. See, if we never share each other's lives, are we truly being shepherds? You must share each other's lives. Does that mean only the good things? Well, you know, in everybody's life, a little rain's going to fall. Right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? You don't have to feed them. They'll eat anything. All the shepherd's got to do is make sure they got something to eat there. You get them in the area. He'll just put them in the right pasture, see, and they'll eat. You don't have to force feed them. They'll eat. Right. When you watch for the enemies and attacking the sheep and defend the sheep, you just keep them in the right areas and they'll continue to eat. Okay? Just something that shepherds do. You can take that and apply it spiritually. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his sheep, what's that tell me? What's that tell me? He says, when he puts forth his own sheep, you're all going to go out. See? That's one thing about this fellowship. I've said for years, I don't get upset when people leave this fellowship. I've said it for years. Nobody can stay here. Except me and my wife. She don't get to leave. Neither do I. We have to stay. But everybody has their time. See, he puts forth his sheep. His own sheep, doesn't he? There's only two reasons people leave the fellowship. Anybody know what it is? What was that? Yeah. What'd you say? That to what? I don't think that's. I don't think that's what the intent is. He hit it more on the head. Is you either have grown up, or you've blown up. Truth, right? You've either grown up or blown up. Either you grow into maturity, or people get mad and leave because they don't get what they want. And that's the majority of people that's left out of this fellowship. I hate to say, you know, people get upset. They don't get what they think is right. And I will answer that by saying this. I got upset with God myself. See, so ain't nobody ahead of me. I've been mad at him too. But he's got grace and mercy for me. And you know what I said to him? Can't I ever be right? He said, nope. He didn't even hesitate. Because it's not about what I want. If it was, I wouldn't be here if it was Dave in the flesh doing what Dave wanted to do. This is about what God wants to do, and he's going to do what he wants to do. So, you know, he puts forth his sheep. That's the ones growing up, and now it's their turn to go out and help somebody else. Okay? When I grow up, you know what I can do? When I grow to maturity, I can help someone else that's not mature. But if I'm a baby, can I help anybody else? Okay. Babies got to require attention all the time. You got three babies at home. How often can you walk off and leave them? They demand attention all the time. And if you don't give them attention, what do? Okay. You can go down through every church coming and going. People leave the church for two reasons. Anywhere you go. I don't care if it's here or anywhere else. They leave because God has moved them on to grow or because they've just blown up and got mad.
David,
yes, sir.
You're saying doing these four things.
What? No, I said that's what a shepherd does.
But isn't that what you're doing when you leave here?
What?
Aren't you defending the sheep? Aren't you healing the sheep?
That's what I'm doing here.
So that's what somebody does when they leave here?
Not necessarily. Not if they get mad and leave under anger.
Yeah. Normally.
Yes.
That's what I said.
If they grow to maturity.
Yeah. Well. Into
okay. Oh, maybe I misunderstood the way you worded it, working the crowd.
So that's why I meant that.
Okay, I didn't understand it. Because working the crowd, I was thinking that like the church teaches people to work the crowd, you know, play them. Okay. Okay, that's what I understood it as. I'm sorry. I just misunderstood your words.
Well, I think that's what you do. You know, you go up there, if you're letting people use your life as an example, mm-hmm. and you're loving people, you know, you're working just like Jesus did.
Right. But I didn't understand your words. My fault. I didn't understand you. Do just what you said, to grow up and then go out and help somebody. I can't reach the whole world. I can't do that. And that's why Jesus said, the greater works that I've done, he said, you're going to do greater works than I've done. Because he can't reach to the whole world as one person in one body of flesh. So he can put it in all of his sons and we can go out and reach the others. Paul did the same thing. He raised people up. Didn't he tell Timothy he was a father to him? He even said he begot him. That means he birthed him. He was a father. He begat sons, many sons, Paul did, into the gospel, into the kingdom, and sent them out to do their work. Right? And that's the same thing it is here. I understand that everybody is not meant to sit down. See, that's the concept of church in church realms, is you just find a place that's comfortable and sit down and stay there. I beg to differ with that because I can't find one prophet in the whole Bible that got comfortable in maturity of God. Even Paul, with all the knowledge that he had and the experiences he had with God, Jesus himself, the Christ, came and taught him in the desert. Do you know what? He never got comfortable. No prophet of God ever got comfortable and fulfilled his purpose, did he? Yeah.
Verse
3, what?
He will know where he leads them out.
Mm-hmm. Out.
He leads them out of the dark matter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And when he puts them outside, he goes before them or in front of them, and the sheep do what? Follow him. Because they know what? His voice. Tell me a word for that. No, another word. No, he says, they know his voice. I'm not looking for the Greek word. I'm looking for a definition or an understanding of what I just said in that part of the word. Because they know his voice. Intimacy. Intimacy. See, I have to be intimate. Bob, you and I have talked on the phone enough. If I called you, would you recognize my voice? Okay. Why do you know me?
Well, it's because you have.
We've been intimate and...
innuendos in your voice. Yeah. And
yeah. But because we've talked is why you know.
Yeah. See?
Right. See, and that's why his sheep know his voice. Because they're intimate with the Spirit of God, so they understand the nature and character of the Spirit of God. It's a recognition or an intimacy that you couldn't have unless you were intimacy. You couldn't recognize it. See? Being together. And that's what it's all about. Intimacy. He wants to be close with him. Okay? Verse 5 goes on and says this. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him because they know not the voice of the stranger. Now, this word stranger, you know what the language says about this word stranger? Not of the same family. Not of the same family. In John 8:44, Jesus made a statement. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. See, he's made it very clear that there's some that are not called into the kingdom yet, that are not sons. They're not of the same family. They have not been born from above. They've not been born again. Sad to say, most of the church world has not been born again. They've been dipped in water and drugged through the altars and the aisles and everything, but they're not born again. Because the only thing that makes you born again, according to the scriptures, the writings of this Bible, is being born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. If I don't know this Word, how could it possibly change the inside of me and bring me to life? It couldn't possibly. And Jesus isn't getting very popular here as he speaks to these people. See? It's not popular when you tell them the truth. So I want to go over verse 5 again. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him because they know not the voice of the stranger. There's no intimacy there. See? If I'm expecting something from my Father and I hear something else, I know many times, and I don't know how many of you could remember it, but how many times I've been ministering here, and as I minister, I said, I ain't going there. See? I addressed that thing talking to me. And it wasn't God talking to me, but I knew where it came from. See, it was from the wrong side. It was that other voice that I don't need to follow. So I said, I'm not going there. I'm going back to where my Father has me going, see? He changed right in the middle of the stream. He tried to get me to change this, my carnal mind. And the reason I can tell is I've been around that carnal mind all my life. I know what it sounds like. But I'm keeping closer tabs on what my Father says now. And I know his voice. And see, I know his voice and I know his nature and I know his character. He is love. He's not trying to hurt anything or anyone. I know that one. And see, the carnal mind can't even act like that. Can it? It can't even act like that. Instantly. Instantly know the pattern. Verse 6. This parable spoke Jesus to them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke to them. That sound like someone spiritual or carnal? Who was he talking to? No, he was talking to all the religious Pharisees. Okay? He was to the Pharisees because his disciples did have a call to the kingdom. Okay? It was the disciples. Well, look back in the last chapter. in verse 40 it says, and some of the Pharisees with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? See, he was dealing with the Pharisees, the religious of the day. So, yeah, they went through a man called Moses, and he was a shadow and a type. Now we have the reality of Christ. We don't need shadows and types any longer. They're just for clarification. Okay? Then said Jesus to them again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's saying, if you're a sheep, if you're one of my sheep, and you're going to the Father, you've got to go through me. Very plainly. Right? Verse 8. All that ever came or appeared before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know why the sheep didn't hear them? There was no life in them. Dead men don't make a lot of noise. They don't make a lot of sense, do they? And when they're walking around with a dead mind that's speaking nothing but carnality, a spiritual man will not hear that. Right? And when the spiritual man is speaking, the dead mind can't hear that either. Both ways, isn't it? So he knows that they couldn't hear anything. Well, they can't be. See, a natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it's spiritually discerned. Okay? Then he goes back and says, I am the door. Through me, if any man enter in, he shall be delivered, not saved, delivered, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He just changed something here. He didn't say just sheep now. He clarified something. He said, if anyone, right, enter in, he shall be delivered. That's wonderful. They're not saved, because we were all saved before the foundation of the world. Would everyone agree that his crucifixion was our saving grace? Would you agree to that, Bob? Well, my book says he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of this whole world. So guess when my salvation was? Before the foundation of this world. Okay? That thing on Hill Golgotha was just a physical thing so people with doubt and unbelief could see something. It was already finished. It was a done deal. Before anything else happened, it was done. Okay? But he said, I am the door. Through me, if any man enter in, he shall be delivered. You see, if I go through Christ, when I go through that door and come out the other side, you know what I am? I'm part of Him. I've just entered into Him, and now I come out as Him on the other side. I'm part of this Christ. And what it did, it took me from the darkness outside and let me walk into the light. He said, I am the light that lights every man that comes into the world. See? When I'm birthed in, guess what? He's the Spirit inside of me. He's what gives me life and breath to breathe. Without that, no one breathes. And then he says this, and you shall go in and out. You know what that tells me? Liberty. John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See? Liberty. In Christ. Not in everything else that comes out through the world. He didn't say that there's 15 ways to come to Him, did He? How do you get to Him, Bob? Through the door. Right? And Christ is the door. There is no other way. I don't care if through Indians, Hindus, Muslims, it don't make no difference. I don't care what they do, but that is not the way to get back to the Father. That is a way to occupy your time here, and if you're satisfied with that, then go for it. But that's not the way to get back to our Father. First fruit, and it comes from all nations and kindreds and tongues according to these scriptures, not just American way of believing. This isn't an American way of believing what I'm teaching. This is a God way of believing. It has nothing to do with nation or race. It's about what God says, and there's some from all over the world listening to this stuff. That's the truth. Okay? Ephesians on what? Which one are we talking about, honey? I don't know. In Ephesians? No. Why?
I had one that's
Yeah, 2:18.
Yeah.
Okay. You can, what is it? Read that. The door, yeah, the liberty. Yeah, I'll read that out loud. So, go on page. I'll read this scripture that Lois brought out, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Because through him we both have access by one Spirit. That's the liberty we was talking about, to the Father. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers or aliens and foreigners or resident aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When we walk through the door, we're one with him. What was Jesus' prayer? John 17. Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. See? It's all about becoming one, not being separated in all these different denominations and stuff that everybody's doing. Okay, he says you can go in and out, the liberty we're talking about, and find what? What is a pasture to sheep? Food. See, you'll find your substance, your sustenance, your need, your supply for life, right? And it's in him. He is the pasture too. He's the pasture. Not only the door, not only the light, but he's everything. Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. Whatever you need, I am. That's what God says. Okay? Verse 10. The thief, that's the carnal mind, comes not except to steal and to kill or to victimize and to destroy. I have appeared that they might have life, or in order that they might not have life. Another word here, and oh, it's powerful. Not have life, but possess life. Yes, but it's possess. The word possess is in there. Instead of have, it's possess. Okay? I think it's the Greek word echo, and it means hold or possess. But the word possess is so much stronger. See, I'm not just holding on to something. I possess it. That means it's part of me. I possess it. It's mine. Okay? But I have appeared that they might possess life. It's Zoe, the Zoe life. And that they might, just cancel that word might, and that they possess it more abundantly. Not that they might have it, but that you possess it more abundantly. The word possess just means so much more, it's so much stronger, and the word is in this language. It's possess. Okay? You become part of it. When we go through the door, we become one with him into the kingdom. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. That pretty well cleared it up, didn't it? The good shepherd gives his what? Literally, he doesn't give it. It says he lays down, what the language says. He doesn't give anything. He lays down his life. Well, you know what that word life is there? Suke. He lays down his soulish life. He lays down his soulish life. Whole lot different than just life. He wasn't laying down his spirit. He was laying down his soul. Okay? Because that's what the word suke means. He lays down his suke for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf. And what is that wolf? That's that carnal mind again. The word there literally means cruel, greedy, carnal. It's the beast, the beastly nature of man. Sees it coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf, that cruel, greedy, carnal beast, catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. Why did he flee? He what? He's a hireling. Remember my statement I've used for several years now? Be who you be. And you know a hireling can't be anything else? Mm-hmm. And see, there's many, many men and women that say they're men and women of God will never lay their life down for the sheep. because they're hirelings. They're only in it for the money. They're in it for a job and security. And when things get tough, guess where everybody goes? To church. No, they go to church, because then they figure God's going to be have a magic wand and wave it over and fix them and then go back out and do what they want. I'm telling you what the majority of people think. They think if I go to church when things are... Verse 13, we just finished, right? Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known by mine. Now look at this. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. That talks about somebody having a relationship. There's some intimacy going on here. See? And these places where they go, where you never see people for weeks at a time, months at a time, They get so many people in a place you couldn't see them. If you spent the rest of your life there, you couldn't see all the people. Yeah. And see, that's not intimacy. It's never been called a mob. It's supposed to be a family. See, we're supposed to be intimate. And we can't be in that size of a crowd. But see, men are secure whenever there's numbers there. They get security in the numbers. And most people like the numbers because of the money and the notoriety, and they can hide if they want to. You get in a crowd, pretty easy to hide. You get in a small group like here, you can't hide nothing, can you? If someone comes in here feeling bad, does anybody know it? Somebody comes in with an attitude, does anybody know it? Well, sure, we know what's going on because we've had time to learn the persons that come in here. See? And intimacy. Okay. Verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. Boy, that tells you a pattern. He said, I know my sheep, sheep know me. I know the Father, he knows me. There's a pattern. We are to know one another, aren't we? And not just carnally saying, hey, shake my hand, see you next week. That's not intimacy. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my what? My psuche, my soulish life for the sheep. Now, soulish life, what's he talking about? What did he cry out in the garden? Lord, not my will, but your will. See, what's he trying to say? What my flesh and my mind contrive is what I should be doing in this life means nothing. The only thing that means anything is what Father wants me to do. Until I can find out what Father wants me to do, all I am is a blind man walking around bumping into the wall. Right? I'm just a lost sheep out there bumping around in the hills. Might fall in a ravine, might fall over a cliff, might fall in the briars. Don't know where you're going to end up. See, but his sheep's going to follow him. How could I get lost following him? He's the light. See, how can I lose anything following him? Only thing I'm going to lose is suke. Yippee, that's right. See, all I'm going to lose is my own soulish desires and wants. That's all I can lose following him. It's all I'm going to lose. There's nothing else I am but that soulish desire versus the spirit. Yeah, we'll be sheared all right. We'll be clipped. But we'll be thankful we've been clipped, you know. We'll be thankful for that. Verse 16. Big controversy here. There's been religions built on this one verse, 16. And other sheep I not have, but I possess, which are not from out of this fold. Them also I must bring in also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall become one flock and one shepherd. Now, Jehovah Witnesses, they say, this is it. They use this verse, so do the Mormons. The Jehovah Witnesses say, see, this is our flock, and that was them, and this is us over here. The Mormons say this same thing. See, we are that other flock that was in America while he was over here. He had to come over here and get us. They weren't here then. Hello? See, they ain't thinking. But somebody made them believe that the other flock was the ones over here in America. That's nothing to do with it. That's just what they teach them. Let me go back and tell you what it says. Other sheep I possess. You know why he possesses them? He hasn't even went to the cross yet here, has he? But he died before the foundation of the world. He possessed everybody before anything ever started. It was all, the price was already paid, wasn't it? Okay? So he already possesses them, which are not from out of this fold. Them also I must bring in, and they shall hear my voice and become one fold or one flock. You know what he's talking about? Gentiles. See, he already has the Jews right there. He said, but they're not out of this flock. They're out of another flock, but I'm going to bring them in, and they're going to become one. That's the whole purpose, that we become one with our Father, is it not? We become one with Him. We'll think like Him, act like Him, talk like Him. True or false? If we do that, we're right on course. See, no problem. Okay? But it's going to be one. Verse 17. Therefore, or for this reason, does my Father love me? Because I laid down my psuche, my soulish life, in order that I may take it again, or bring it back up again. He was talking about his flesh body there. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down by myself. Nobody took his life. The Roman soldiers didn't take it from him. He's not blaming somebody for stabbing him with a spear or sticking nails in his hands, is he? He said, I put it down there myself. Because my Father asked me to. That's why he did it. His Father didn't make him. He asked him to. He said, I possess power to lay it down. And I possess power to take it again. This what? The word commandment's not correct. This authority is what the language says. This authority I have received from my Father. He said, son, I want you to go down there and lay your life down for him. But I'm going to give you the authority to lay it down and take it back up. And nobody can stop it. You have the power to lay it down yourself. And when you agree with God, you know what you do? You receive power. And you receive authority from God. You know what? This is not authority to rule over the masses of humanity. That's what the church world does when they're in their Pentecostal realms, in their realms of immaturity, when they're not ready to understand. That's not what it's about. But I receive authority for my life. Hello? If my life's not in order, how could I possibly help anybody else? Okay? The whole problem with man's religious organization is they ain't nobody growed up. They're all a bunch of babies. And I'm not knocking nobody. That's just a fact. They ain't been eating from the right source. You eat from the right source, you'll grow teeth. And you'll begin to chew meat. You won't be sucking on a titty any longer for milk. You'll be eating the meat of the Word. And Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. If you get in here and start chewing on this stuff, you're going to sprout some teeth. And you're going to be able to chew it up and digest it. And that will make you grow to maturity. Nobody's sitting pointing at a finger at you and telling you better do that or else is ever going to make you grow. It will never make you grow. It will make you resent everything in life. If they'll get off your back and feed you, you'll grow. See, and there's the problem. We've got to get this mentality out of our head. You'll grow bitter. Yeah. The law, it'll beat you up. And I'm still in verse 16, aren't I? No, 17? 18. 19 now. We're down to 19. But he received this authority from his Father, he said. And because of this, there became a division, therefore, among the Jews because of these sayings. Because of what he said, he created a division among the Jews. Because some of them believed and some didn't. Verse 20. And many of them said, he possesses a devil, or he's possessed by a devil. An evil spirit, a demon. And he is a raving maniac, is what the language says. Now he just stood up and said, I am the door. And that made him a raving maniac. See, I think somebody overreacted a little bit, just like religion. They overreact. Why hear ye him? One of the translations actually says it this way. Why do you want to listen to him? He's a raving maniac. Why do you want to listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one that possesses a devil or is possessed by a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind, or can one possessed by a devil open the eyes of a blind? See? Some of them got a little bit of discernment. Not very much, but a little bit. And it was in Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. You know what it was? What was that Feast of the Dedication? Anybody know? It was on December the 15th, and the feast lasted 8 days. It was instituted by Judas the Maccabees, 164 years B.C., to represent the cleansing of the temple. I can't find anything in Scripture about that. That's just history. See?
What about the Maccabees?
Well, this was just a man, Judas Maccabee.
About the Maccabees.
Not the writings, the man. The man. This man who was a ruler, and he instituted this feast to dedicate it to the cleansing of the temple way back hundreds of years before that. You know. Huh? No. It was in December. It could be that. I mean, they could wrap it all together, but that was at the time. And it was winter time. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long do you make us to doubt? Now, you know what's funny about that word us? It isn't us. It's suke. Mm-hmm. He said, how long do you make us in the soul of us to suffer or to doubt? How long are you going to make this soul doubt? Not yet your time. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to make our soul to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Hello? He said, I am. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the way. And they still don't listen, do they? It's funny. He said, tell us plainly. And Jesus responded to them, I told you, and you believe me not. See? If you go tell someone I am part of the Christ, they say, you're a crazy man. I've had lots of people tell me that. You're stone crazy. You're a raving maniac. Who do you think you are? That's the way it is. See? They never see, this is a pattern. Jesus was called the pattern son. If he was the pattern, if it did it to him, what do you think you're going to do to us? Same thing. Why do you think he went through it? So you can see that's what I got to look forward to. It doesn't make any difference. All they're doing when people attack you once you come to maturity, all it does is confirm what you're doing. It's just a perfect pattern to what they did to him, isn't it? That's all it is. And the only thing that's going to be destroyed when the wind blows on the house in Matthew 7 is the house itself. See, the works of the man. The man was never destroyed, was he? He's going to blow the flesh away and let the house be built upon the rock, right? Which is the Christ. And where am I at? 25? Yeah. The works that I do in my Father's nature or character or authority, they bear witness concerning me. He's saying the things I'm doing should be telling you something. But you people are so religious and so bound by the law, guess what? You can't hear a thing. Yeah, but nobody else can hear it. See? And the problem with that is people who think they're Christians, and they use that word Christians very loosely, you know what? They think everybody else can hear what they hear. It don't work, does it? See? It doesn't work that way, so guess what? They expect everybody to be just like them. See? The more I grow in God, the more I understand that I have no control over anything except what's going on in my own life. I can't expect anybody to be where I am at all. All I can do is show you what Father has given me, and it's up to Him to call all things to your remembrance, right? If he wants to use me as a vessel to do that, that's his business. If he don't, that's his business. All I have to do is what he tells me to do. I don't have to think up things to do. I don't have to feel, I couldn't feel any more secure if I worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the fact that God loves me and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm not any more shook at that. No one can shake me in anything in that. It's who they are, and it's okay. God's not mad. He's not trying to get even with anybody. See, the reason they have that understanding that God is vengeful and he's going to get them is because they've been told that to start with, but because in their heart, if someone did something to them, what would they do? They'd be vengeful. They'd go after them, see? But once your heart has been changed, like he said in Ezekiel, I'm going to take your heart out, that old stony heart, and give you a new soft heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you ever had heart surgery and they took that heart out and give you a heart replacement, that other heart they took out, you will never feel beating in your chest again, will you? They can never put it back in. Once they take it out and put a new one in, that old one's defective. It's never put back in anybody, is it? It's thrown away. It's the same thing in the spirit. If God removes that old thinking process out of you and puts in the heart, the mind of Christ, can you ever go back and draw off that old way of thinking? It's impossible. If you truly have the heart transplant, it's gone. No life left in it. It's dead. Okay? Verse 26. But you believe me not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. As I said to you. You talk about making somebody mad. You go up and tell somebody in church, you ain't a Christian. You ain't a Christian. You don't act like one. You don't talk like one. If you were one, you'd hear what I'm saying. See? Isn't that what he just did? It's okay for him, but if I say it, what are they going to do to me? Eat me alive. See? If I reveal the truth like he did right there, you're not of this group. You're not my children. You're not my sheep. You can't hear me because you're not my sheep. You want to know why they didn't like him? Because he told them the truth. Now, if I tell them the truth, do you think I'm going to be any more liked? He had to fulfill what he had to do. He knew it would offend them. Yep. Now, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. See, there's intimacy, and they follow me. How many times has he said that? And I give to them eternal life, or the life of the ages. Right? Let me show you something here. Verse 28, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall what? The word never, there's four Greek words reduced down to one word. It's ume, eis, ho, aeon. And they said never. What it literally says is never into the ages. They shall never into the ages perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my, what? Hand? What is hand symbolism for? Works, authority, or power? They'll never be able to take the ones that hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never into the ages perish, and neither shall any, the word man's added, but it's okay, neither shall any man pluck them out of my power. And you know what that includes? Yourself. I can't even take myself out of this. I don't have an option in this thing. He said, I have put you in the power and you can't come out of it. Guess what? I don't want to. He's the author and finisher. He started. He's going to finish. I don't want to get out of this. Man, this is the greatest thing in the world. But you get beat at and thrown rocks at and told lies on and cursed and everything in the world. Yep, and I love it. Because I have life in me, and once I have tasted this life, nothing can satisfy me anything else. Nothing in this world can satisfy me and take me away from what God has given me. Doesn't make any difference. I don't have to be famous. I'm probably infamous in a lot of circles, but I'm not famous anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. But you know what? All the people that dislike me because of the truth I preach, you put them in a bad place, And I guarantee you they'd love to see my old fat face. They'd like to see me come around and pray for them. There's a whole lot of them that don't like me. I had a lady come up to me the other day, and I won't say her name, come up in town, and she wouldn't set foot in this place in 1,000 years. And she came up to me in a restaurant, and she said, "Would you pray for me? I got some things going on," and said, "I really need you to pray for me. I know God hears you." Okay? But they wouldn't associate with me any other way, but she came up and asked me to pray for her. This just happened last week, right over in town. Huh? See? That tells you they know there's something there. There's people that's scared to death of me. I've never hurt anybody. There's all kinds of people intimidated. If I just walk in a room, they're intimidated. I don't hurt nobody. I'll tell the truth, but I won't hurt anybody. Isn't that the same thing Jesus did? He didn't hurt anyone, but he told the truth. They know there's something there. They know there's something there. They know there's something there. Yep. But they know there's something in me, and they're frightened by it because they can't control it. And I guarantee you they can't. Verse 30. I and my Father are one, and that's me saying that too. And it better be you too, huh? I and my Father, we are one, is what it should say. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. See, there's religion. Tell me what emotion is right there. There you go. Anger. You can tie religion and anger the same thing. You can label religion as angry. Because religion is angry. Every war going on the face of this earth is through religion. It's anger. And people that get mad at you, guess what? It's religion. That's all it is. It's religion. Everybody gets mad because you don't agree with what they want or say or do. What religion does? If you don't agree with them, they want to cast you out. See? Where is the, I don't like the word compromise, but where is the meeting in the middle of the road? Okay. People will come to me and they'll start talking to me about some devil and about some eternal hell and fire and torment, and I'll stand there and listen to them. And when they get done, I'll say, "Now can I say my piece?" "Well, I don't want to hear your heresies." It's a two-way street, isn't it? If I sit and listen to what you got to say, shouldn't you give me the courtesy of speaking what I have in me? They should. But see, that just proves one thing. They're unstable. They're afraid. If you are afraid, I've said this many times for years, if you are afraid to take out what you believe, and I'm going to take this book and lay it on the table. If you're afraid to open that book, and this book is you and what you believe, and if you open it up, flip it over, look at every angle, you can look at that thing, top, bottom, if you're afraid to roll up what you believe, you're already deceived. You're afraid to discuss it with somebody, you're in fear. Fear is not of God. You're on the wrong side already. Right? Sure he does. Sure he does. Absolutely he does. And people get mad when God does that. Okay. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. If he didn't do it, you'd be staying the same way you are the rest of your life. But they took up stones to stone him, and Jesus responded to them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" Same thing in John chapter 9. And the Jews responded to him saying, "Concerning a good work, we don't stone you, but concerning blasphemy, and because you, being a man, a human being, a natural man, make yourself God." When did he say, "I am God"? He said, "I'm the Son of God. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the door. I'm the light." See, he didn't say that. Isn't that the same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 3? God said to Adam and Eve, said, "Hey, you can eat every tree in the garden you want to, but don't eat of this one. In the day you eat of it, you'll surely die." And then in chapter 3, when this serpent, this carnal mind, starts talking to the woman, the soli, the suke of Adam, guess what happens? He says, Didn't God say that if you touch this tree? He didn't say that, did he? He said if you eat of it. He added some words to it. If you touch this tree or eat of it, God knows you'll not surely die, but you'll be like him. See? And she bought the lie. And that's what religion has done. They bought the lie. See? I can't help that. All I know is I had the lie bought myself, paid for, down payment, paid in full, and everything else. I had it bought until God opened my mind and I saw this is so foolish. What the church is teaching is so foolish. It's childish. Has nothing to do with our Father and the greatness that He is. And they say how great and powerful He is, and yet some stinking devil they've conjured up in their mind has more power in Him. Something's wrong. It's childish. Okay? And Jesus responded to them, "Is it not written in your law?" Now here's where He gets into it with them. "Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods?" He quoted Psalm 82, verse 6. This verse has got me in trouble on many occasions. It's okay, it's in the book. But here's the key words in this verse. Look in that 34th verse. Jesus responded to them, "Is it not written in your law?" You ought to make a circle around them next two words. "I said." You know what he's doing now? He's telling you he's the one that spoke through David in the Psalms. Because that's where it's recorded, isn't it? David recorded it in the Psalms, Psalm 82, verse 6, that "I said." He's saying, "I am God now." If you have ears to hear it. He said, "I'm the one talked through David." "If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." He's saying, so the religious folk got the word, and the scripture can't be broken. "Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God." I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. They want to kill him because he said, "I'm the Son of God." He said, "If I do the works of my Father, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." Now, there was a thought process, and I don't know if I can get it out. God worked in me today, was working in me today, and showed me something about the law. Why did God give us the law? Huh? He gave it to us for a guideline, but he gave it to us something to show us something. To reveal our failures. We couldn't possibly do it. And it put us in such a bondage we couldn't be who we be. See, we were in prison in the law. We're under bondage of the law. Remember it says that in Paul wrote in Romans about Hagar and her son being in bondage under the law, and then at Mount Sinai, right? And then went to, can't think of the woman. Anyway, the one was under bondage, one was a free woman. Think of her name. I'm blocked. Huh? No. Mm-mm. Anyway, Sarah, there it is. See, but she was the free woman with the free son. So he said, "I want to show you something. As long as you are in the law," and that's where Hagar and her son Ishmael represented, they were under bondage. They were bound up. They could never be who God has created them to be. As long as I'm trying to live right now under the law, and that's what most people's problems is, they can't kick it off and be who you be. If I'm living under the law, I can't be who God's called me to be. That's all it is. And the whole church world has got somebody under rules and regulations. If I'm under rules and regulations, I'm fearful of doing this and I'm fearful of doing that. I'm not afraid of doing anything. God is not a vengeful God. My Father is not trying to hurt me, and He's not trying to hurt you. You reap what you sow today. If you are His sheep, you hear His voice, you have liberty to go in and out, you can find what you need to eat. Right? You're taken care of. If you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything will be added unto you. See? To seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What else is there? Nothing. Nothing else that means anything. The rest of it's suke. It's the soulish life. You know what? Not interested in that one. The spirit life is all I'm interested in. If I could tell you how many times I have been misunderstood in what I've said or what I've done. I don't know if they make numbers that high. What do you want me to do? Huh? What didn't I do? You tell me. Hit the last verse. Here, I thought that was the end of the game again. Here I was quitting early. Okay, we're still on. Okay. I went to 37. Okay, 38. He's been 37. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, even if you believe not me, believe the works. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father. See? You'll know it by what I'm doing. See, because this, just like he said over here in what verse? In verse 21. These are not the words of a devil, of one that's possessed by a devil. A devil can't open the eyes of a blind man. So they're saying only God can do this. So if he's doing the works of God, guess what? He is. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again across Jordan. What's Jordan symbolic of? Death. You know where he went? Into the Spirit. He just walked into the Spirit. Into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many came to him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke concerning this man were true. And many believed into him there. Where did they believe? In the Spirit. Where did he go? He went into a place of spirit. That's why they couldn't locate him. He crossed over death. And you know what it takes to cross over death? Walking into the Spirit. Getting into the Spirit. Is not God a spirit? Everybody, I've had people tell me this is too spiritual. I never met anything too spiritual. I've met things too carnal and too religious. But see, God is a spirit. This book is a spiritual book. We are all spiritual men and women. The book was written by men inspired by the Spirit of God, and they were spiritual men. So if I interpret this book any way close to being right, I got to be in spirit. I can't interpret it by my natural thinking process because it will not agree to anything that God says. That's why it has to die. My desire to do anything and everything has to die to only what Father wants. It's not my will. It's his will. And whatever my Father wants, my Father gets. So my famous last words is, amen. Amen to whatever Father wants. Now I can turn it off.